Hello, welcome. I just like to get straight into things. So I put up a question box on Instagram the other day asking what you would like me to record a podcast about, what you'd like to hear more about. And one of the responses was like about aging and a reframe on that, or what would be available as a different story, approaching 40, feeling like a bit of an identity crisis, and liking to see it in a different, from a different perspective with a different story. So, I mean, all I can do is share my experience with aging, and it has definitely changed significantly, how I feel about it now versus how I felt about it when I was like 20, and that's probably very common, to be honest. I also had a hotline, an Oracle hotline client of mine, a beautiful client. She asked me something similar, like, how do you really get to that place of feeling good about yourself, like you know who you are? And so I think this all kind of ties in together because I am at a different place, and there's some, I guess, experiences in particular that feel like they contributed significantly to how I feel now and where I am with this idea of aging, with love for yourself, like aging in a kind way and aging in a way that feels really powerful. Like, wow, I just feel like I'm getting wiser and wiser. Like, how cool is that? So, yeah. When I was, so I mean, let's start at the beginning, right? So, when I was younger, I can't really remember how I felt about it when I was like a teenager or even a kid, but I know that when I hit my 20s, I had this pressure that I was very full on about, a pressure tied to wanting my own cafe. So I wanted my own business, I wanted my own cafe, I wanted to open something, and I had a lot of pressure around the age that I would be when I did that. And I was like, I have to do it by the time I'm 23 or 24 or 25 or whatever it was. And at the time, I remember, so my silent business partner, who I ended up opening my first cafe with, I said to him, if I don't get this open by the time I'm 25, I'm going to jump off a cliff. And that was just like, I laugh when I think about it now, but it felt so real to me at the time. Like, it felt so big and so real and so true, and I was so attached to that, as an outcome. I had no other desire. I wasn't like, I want to be married by this age, I want to have kids by this age, nothing. Like, age wasn't tied to anything except opening this business, for me. And so I just, like I said, I laugh about it now. It wasn't funny at the time. It did happen. But I just had this real idea of what had to happen by 25. It's like by 25, because 25 felt so old for me. Yeah, it felt so old at the time. And so I was very vocal to those around me about, oh my God, like 30 is hideously old. Like 30 is so old. Oh my gosh. Like, I just felt really so strongly. And I actually don't know where it came from. And I don't feel attached to finding out because I don't feel any of that anymore. So it's not something that I feel I need to work on. But reflecting has been really interesting to understand how I got to this place. So I turned 40 last year, and so that was when I was 25. I opened my first cafe, and it wasn't through, I think every year I turned a year older, like 26, 27, 28, I was like, whoa, like I'm just getting so old. Life is passing me by. I just felt like I didn't have time left to do, I don't even know, I wasn't even attached to doing certain things. It was just like, time's passing me by, and I'm going to be so old, and it's all going to be over in like a heartbeat, and I'm not getting enough done. So it was really, if you're familiar with human design, it was very like internalized pressure, like undefined root. And it wasn't coming from anywhere else. Like, there was no external pressure on me to do a certain thing by a certain age, by no means. It was all internalized. And that continued until I was about 30, 31. And then I remember a dating experience where I was probably about 30, I think. 30, maybe 29. And I was seeing someone who was 35, and when they told me how old they were, I thought to myself, oh my God, that's like so old. Like, I'm just airing all my dirty laundry here. That's so old. I feel like you're basically dead because you're almost 40. Like you're halfway dead. I mean, I didn't say this out loud, but that's how I felt. And I just couldn't. I was grappling with this age idea, and it just felt so big, so real. And I had assigned so much meaning to it. Meaning just old. I was like, what was that? But beyond that, and it just wasn't really attached to anything. I just really had an aversion to being old. I guess when I think about it now, actually, just in the moment that dropped in, I associated old with being miserable, and sad and lonely. And that's so interesting. So actually, that's an example right there of when you're doing subconscious reprogramming or subconscious work, curiosity, when you just like let it be available to you'll get insight pretty quickly as to what was actually going on. So that just happened for me in the moment then. Interesting. So all of these feelings, right? And let's just fast forward. And I was 32 when I fell pregnant with Willow. I became 33. And then the years just blended into one, honestly. That was it. I don't really remember, because I was in early motherhood, whether it was motherhood or whether it was just that I cared less. Once I'd passed that mark of 30, the years just blended into each other. And I remember being with a friend, and someone, I don't know where we were, asked how old I was. And I said, I think I said 34. And she's like, no, you're not. You're 35. I was like, no, I'm not. And she's like, yeah, you are. I was there at your birthday when you turned 34. And I'm thinking, wow, like there was a whole year that I just forgot about in there. And that spoke volumes to me, because I realized how little age had a grip on me at that point. It was, like I said, whether it was motherhood or whether it was simply some wisdom starting to impart itself. I am also a 4-6, so once I pass those first 30 years, sorry, 4-6 in human design is the profile lines. Yeah, I think that might have had an impact as well. So I feel like here I am at 40, and even approaching my birthday last year. I'm a Taurus, so I was in May. I had some really big life events happen, and very unexpected. And yes, it contributed to how I felt about my birthday, about turning 40, but I also didn't have really big feelings. I was actually kind of, I wouldn't say I was excited about it, but I just don't see it. I didn't see it as an endpoint that I had previously put all this pressure on it. Like, 40's almost dead. It's halfway to dead. You're pretty much, life's over. And I really just don't feel any of that anymore. I feel like 40 has imparted so much wisdom. Like, I really feel kind of proud of all my life experience. I know I hold it within me. I know that I'm getting wiser and wiser, like for myself, and I'm getting stronger in who I am. And I think it was going through some dating experiences in the last couple of years that really, when you're going through a dating process, it really shows you who you are. Like, you can see yourself, and you can see how much you've changed, right, in between relationships. Or it was like this really wonderful mirror for me to realize I actually really like who I am. I actually really like the person I am, my behaviors, how I'm being. Like, of course, there's always things that I'm going to approach, wanting to change or wanting to deepen my understanding of. And But I no longer have this like hatred of different parts of myself or dislike, strong dislike. I really have come to a place where, sure, I can kick off those cycles, but they just don't last as long. But I definitely accept all parts of myself now. And it has been a journey, but it's such a liberating way to live your life, knowing that I'm only 40. Like there's so much more to come, and it gets to be even better and better and better than what I can imagine. And so I think taking life experiences into account, but also being here and understanding that actually you get to bring along all the parts of you that have been through, some really big experiences, sometimes small, but it all counts. And you get to then live from that place. And that's just like a whole different ball game. And I know I've heard, very wise women say that their 40s were the best years of their lives, their 50s were the best years of their lives, like 60s. And I think it's all still so wonderful. Like life doesn't end. It doesn't end. It actually can just get deeper and richer. And as someone who loves to have a deep experience, like that's a dream. So I think it's just really important to not necessarily forget about the number, but reframe the number as that is so much wisdom. That is so much life experience that you get to bring with you and take into your future and take into your 40s and 50s and 60s. And it means that you'll probably just end up with a more liberated experience, a deeper expression of who you are, more familiar with who you are, loving who you are, accepting parts that you would have rejected previously, maybe through your 20s and 30s or your teen years, and just learning to love them or learning to be proud of them and no longer sort of feel like you're raging against things that you want to change all the time, right? You can transform and you can do things from a loving place. It doesn't have to be from a place of, I wish I was better at this, I'm not good enough, I'm broken. Like that came up in a conversation today in Hotline. And this idea, I think, that was seeded a long time ago in wellness or spirituality or whatever you want to call it, where it's like I'm broken and I need to be fixed, or I'm not whole, I need to be healed. Healing's beautiful, but healing from a whole place, right? Like not I'm completely broken and I am dysfunctional and I have all these things wrong with me and I need to fix them all. There's nothing to fix. Like you're an amazing person, exactly how you are. You can just take your wisdom and you can take your curiosity and you can tweak the things that don't feel like they're working for you. That's all. And that's like such a brave and incredible capability that you have within your hands. So feel like I'm going on a tangent, but all I want to say is age doesn't mean anything. And you get wiser and wiser, and it's a brilliant, incredible, irreplaceable experience. And I really want to encourage you to lean into that, because if you're listening to this podcast, you are most likely a very brave person, because it takes a brave person to work on their stuff in this lifetime. And I've said it before and I will never stop saying it. In this lifetime, there is only a very small percentage of people that will actually feel and be brave enough to work on their shit. And that changes the generations, that changes the world and your community and everyone around you. That's like the most important work that there is. Your inner world changes, and when you change that, the outer world changes as well. Anyway, I'm going to leave it there. I don't know. I probably have so much more to say, but I think that's enough for today. I am going to share another podcast, actually. Something I want to talk about is, or share, in case this is supportive for you or anyone you know, sort of my experiences with trying something. So What I've realized is I have a history, and I'm gonna be so happy to leave it in the past. Like, I'm not gonna call it my, because I don't want to claim it, but history of chronic pain and migraines. And yeah, it's been a long time, and I've tried so many different things over the years, and I've learned something from every single experience, even the ones that I didn't like, even the ones that felt like they didn't change a single thing except my wallet. Like, even those things, I learned something every single time, and I actually think that's a really big piece of where I am today, because I've tried so many different things, and had to practice a lot of discernment, what works and what doesn't. And yeah, really coming to a place where I understand that a lot more deeply. You know, I used to be, actually, here we go. I'm going to continue. Used to be hyper independent. Like, I grew up in an environment and with the conditions that meant that as a child, I took on that I needed to be hyper independent. I needed to take care of myself. I needed to look after myself. I needed to make sure I was never asking for help. I just needed to always find the solutions on my own. And I did. And I went forward through life and I did that. And it served me in, let's say, like, ways that might look successful in our society, in our communities, right? Like, in capitalism, it would look successful. But it didn't serve me, my physical body, and it didn't serve me emotionally or spiritually. It actually broke me. And I know that I spoke before about not feeling broken, but this, like, that was it. And it had to happen for me to, like, jump onto another pathway and start exploring all of this other stuff, right? And so my pathway with exploring the chronic pain has meant that I've tried so many things. And what I want to share, or what I will share, is my experiences with things that I feel like have moved the dial the most for me. And what those are, like, I'll give you a quick rundown, is doing the Bean Protocol and learning about that with Eunice Hammond, learning GNM with Nelly. GNM is German New Medicine. So, learning about that and having that experience, I've still got to finish my training, actually. That doing these somatic practices that I'm doing at the moment has really, I mean, I'm in the early stages, so I'll share a bit about that. I can't speak, like, I haven't stuck with it for a year, but I'm learning a lot and it's proving very effective. I've had maybe like two chiropractors and a lymph practitioner, or a physio who shares a lot of lymph stuff. That made a difference. However, I'm kind of backtracking and finding the pain a bit earlier than that even. But they were magic, incredible body workers, and great support for the pain. And then my work with like a mentor, Alex Mufson. So she combines therapy and like business coaching. That's what I'm doing with her, business coaching, but she's also a trained therapist, and she's studied human design with Amy Lee, you know, my beautiful friend. So there's combining all those modalities has been brilliant as well. So I'll talk about that in another podcast and I'll share more details. But this journey with chronic pain, changing it, changing my future, has been wild. And it's something that, yeah, I'd like to share in more detail in case it can be supportive for anyone. Anyway, thank you for listening, and I love you, and I hope you have the most magical, nourishing, relaxing, exciting, all of the things day. Love you. Bye.